Hello, hello! So glad you're back for our next lesson in this sprint. Today, we're exploring what makes groups tick. This is typically referred to as group dynamics. This whole idea of the functional roles of a group was developed way back in the 1940s by Kenneth Bean and Paul Sheets, and much of it is still so relevant today. Here's what we're diving into during this lesson. Understanding the different personality types, group roles, and how to communicate with each effectively. Examining your own leadership and learning preferences, and how these affect your interactions with others. Exploring why group dynamics will determine your success and how to cultivate a positive culture. Almost all of us have taken the Myers-Briggs personality test at some point in our careers. I bet you can spout off your own unique combination of letters right now. So as a refresher, here's the different types. There are extroverts, energized by people, enjoying a variety of tasks, and good at multitasking. Or there are introverts, like these people like working alone or in small groups. They enjoy a deliberate pace and working on one thing at a time. We have sensors, who are realistic and like to focus on facts and details. They apply common sense and past experiences to find practical solutions. And we have intuitives, who prefer to focus on possibilities and the big picture, who value innovation and seek creative solutions to problems. We have thinkers, who make decisions using logical analysis. They value honesty, consistency, and fairness. And we have feelers, who are sensitive and cooperative. They decide things based on how others will be affected. And we have judgers, who are organized and prepared, make and stick with plans, and are comfortable following the rules, or perceivers. People who like to keep their options open, act spontaneously, and are flexible at making plans. Obviously, we all have a little of each type in our wheelhouse, but you can most likely identify your four main areas of comfort. Many effective partnerships and collaborations happen between people who are opposite personality types. So for example, I am an ISTJ, but my husband is an ESFP, which probably explains a lot, but it's also why we really like each other. As cliche as this test might be, it's still a pretty effective tool for understanding the dynamics of the people in your school. Each person carries a unique set of talents, abilities, preferences, and energy. Knowing some of these preferences help you to understand who should work together, who might need a new peer coach, or even how your own personality works with another colleague you're trying to coach, mentor, or facilitate. Knowing these personality types is just one piece of the puzzle. The other piece is knowing how these types take on roles in different group settings. And this is where the work from Bean and Sheets comes in. So these roles are what people take on, kind of like an outfit that they wear in a group setting. And they can put on different things at different times. There are three main groups for each of these roles. So we have tasks, personal and social roles, and dysfunctional roles. And we're going to explore each of these categories. So here are the task roles for how people in a group get work done. Okay, we have the initiator or the contributor. They propose original ideas or different ways of approaching group problems or goals. This role initiates discussions or moves groups into new areas of exploration. The information seeker requests clarification of comments in terms of their factual adequacy. They seek expert information or facts relevant to the problem, and they determine what information is missing and needs to be found before moving forward. The information giver provides factual information to the group. They are seen as an authority on the subject and relates their own experience when it's relevant. The opinion seeker asks for clarification of the values, attitudes, and opinions of group members. They check to make sure different perspectives are given. The opinion giver expresses his or her own opinions and beliefs about the subject being discussed. They often state their own opinions in terms of what the group should do. The elaborator takes other people's initial ideas and they build on them with examples, relevant facts, and data. They also look at the consequences of proposed ideas and actions. The coordinator identifies and explains the relationships between ideas. They may pull together a few different ideas and make them cohesive. The orienter reviews and clarifies the group's position. They provide a summary of what has been accomplished, notes where the group has veered off course, and suggests how to get back on target. The evaluator or critic evaluates proposals against a predetermined or objective standard. They assess the reasonableness of a proposal, and they look at whether it is fact-based and manageable as a solution. The energizer concentrates the group's energy on moving forward. They challenge and stimulate the group to take further action. The procedural technician, this person facilitates group discussion by taking care of logistical concerns, like where the meetings are to take place and what supplies are needed for each meeting, and they get those things ready. And the recorder acts as the secretary or the minute keeper. They record ideas and they keep track of what goes on at each meeting. So those are the task roles. Now, we also have personal or social roles that we're looking at how people contribute to the positive functioning of the group. This keeps it moving forward. The encourager affirms, supports, and praises the efforts of fellow group members. They demonstrate warmth and provide a positive attitude in meetings. The harmonizer conciliates differences between individuals. They seek ways to reduce tension and diffuse a situation by providing further explanation or using humor. The compromiser offers to change his or her position for the good of the group. They're willing to yield position or meet others halfway. The gatekeeper or the expediter regulates the flow of communication. So they make sure that all members have a chance to express themselves by encouraging the shy and quiet members to contribute their ideas. And they also limit those who dominate the conversation and may suggest group roles or standards that everybody else gets a chance to speak up. And the observer or commentator provides feedback to the group about how it's functioning. They're often seen when a group wants to set, evaluate, or change its standards and processes. The follower accepts what others say and decides even though he or she has not contributed to the decision or expressed their own thoughts. They're seen more as a listener and not as a contributor. And finally, there are the dysfunctional roles. These are the things that disrupt a group's progress. There's the aggressor, who makes personal attacks using belittling and insulting comments. So for example, that's the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. Their actions are usually an attempt to decrease another member's status. The blocker opposes every idea or opinion that is put forward and yet refuses to make their own suggestions. So, for example, that's not a good idea. Block. The result is that the group stalls because it can't get past that resistance. The recognition seeker uses group meetings to draw personal attention to him or herself. They may brag about past accomplishments or relay irrelevant stories that paint him or her in a positive light. They sometimes pull crazy stunts to attract attention, like acting silly or making excess noise or otherwise directing members away from the task at hand. The self-confessor uses the group meetings as an avenue to disclose personal feelings and issues. They try to slip these comments in under the guise of relevance, such as, "That reminds me of a time when." They may relate group functions or actions to his or her personal life. For example, if two others are disagreeing about something, the self-confessor may say, "You guys fight just like me and my wife." The disruptor uses group meetings as fun time and a way to get out of real work. They distract other people by telling jokes or playing pranks or even reading unrelated material or scrolling through their Facebook feed. The dominator tries to control the conversation and dictate what people should be doing. They often exaggerate his or her knowledge and will monopolize any conversation, claiming to know more about the situation and have better solutions than anybody else. The help seeker actively looks for sympathy by expressing feelings of inadequacy. So they act helpless, self-deprecating, and unable to contribute. So for example, "I can't help you. I'm too confused and useless with all this stuff." The special interest pleader makes suggestions based on what others would think or feel. They avoid revealing his or her own biases or opinions by using a stereotypical position instead. So, for example, "The people over in admin sure wouldn't like that idea," or You know how cheap central office is? They won't go for that. Now, these roles are from the functional roles of group members in the Journal of Social Sciences. We've included a link to that, so definitely check it out. While it's definitely interesting to just look at these different roles, it's also very helpful to practice finding these different roles when observing groups in your school. It can help give you clues as to who should collaborate and how to best put people together to balance out an arts integration team. It can also help you to understand why some people work on certain teams and projects and others do not. Both the Myers-Briggs personality tests and the group dynamics roles will help you get a clear picture about the people you're working with and how you can best support them. But the puzzle isn't complete if you don't know your own personality, roles in various groups, and some basic elements of your personal leadership profile. In the book Blue Ocean Strategy, I was first introduced to the idea of a leadership canvas. This helps to quickly give you a profile snapshot of who you are as a leader. Caleb Dean and Emily Cantor have taken that to the next level and put together this fantastic canvas model that you can use for your own insights. Personally, I like to fill this out for each large-scale project that I'm doing. It helps me to understand what I bring to the table and where my weaknesses are, so that I can use the rest of the group to help fill them in. So you start with your vision for what you want to create or do. In this case, we'd be looking at developing an arts integration effort. Then you outline your stress about it, the loyal soldiers, which are your deep-seated mental beliefs around the topic, as well as what unique voice or perspective that you bring to the work, your intentions for the work, your strengths, the patterns around how you work, what gives you energy, and your purpose for the effort. Remember, this is your why, which is different than your vision, which is the what. The specific values you bring to this effort, the limiting beliefs that you have about yourself, and the abundance beliefs that you have around yourself. All of that is included in this canvas. Now, this will take you some time to fill out, but once you do, you'll easily be able to understand how that personality test and your natural tendencies in groups are informed by your own leadership style. Together, this can make you an incredible leader who is both confident and humble. During my master's program, I had to take a whole course on group dynamics. It ended up happening during the summer term, and my professor was this elderly man who always dressed in a Hawaiian shirt. He gave us these original 26 roles that I shared earlier, and then put us in all kinds of situations to help test them out, both in class and out. One really memorable one for me was that he assigned us to go to an AA meeting, a real AA meeting, as a silent observer. It felt so uncomfortable to be there listening to others' private stories, and I still really don't like that I had to do that assignment. But what it did allow me to understand was how and why those meetings are structured. While I watched the live dynamic happening, I stopped looking for individual roles, and I started looking for how the structure of the meeting itself was devised to help provide support for any individual who needed help. The other assignment that I remember in vivid detail from that course was having to rent 12 angry men and identify the group dynamic roles of each of the 12 jurors in the film. So if you aren't aware, this is a black and white classic about how a jury comes to a decision in what seems like an open and shut case, but really isn't. To this day, I haven't found another film that captures group dynamics at play like this one does. Now, as you're thinking about group dynamics in your own school or district, I want you to keep these two examples in mind. First, not every situation or group is going to require an analysis of every person in the room. Instead, you might want to keep these roles simply as a reference to how the structures either support arts integration and the teachers themselves or not. If the structures do not support either one, how can you change that? Second, there are times when it's important to simply sit in on a meeting and take notes about what roles each person is playing in the group. This will help you to determine if there's really a challenge to address or if it's just a natural pathway for a breakthrough. And if you need practice before you go into one of those meetings, definitely try to Netflix or rent 12 Angry Men. Sit down with those 26 roles on a list and make a list of the characters you're watching, and then practice identifying which role each man wears at different parts of the discussion. I can't stress enough how important group dynamics are to your arts integration efforts. No two groups are ever the same. The more you know about how the group is functioning and the roles that each person plays, the better you are at developing a strong support system that leads to a high-quality arts integration effort. Before you leave this lesson, be sure to download the workbook below. Then take time to fill out your personal leadership canvas. This will help you reflect on your unique blend of leadership qualities and how you can use them moving forward with arts integration. Great job on everything today, and I look forward to seeing you in our last lesson.